Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the Boys Club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
Hello, Connor.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. It's a beautiful fucking day. It's officially the most gorgeous day of the year, 2024.
I know, I bet I could get real burnt today if I tried.
No, let's get you some sunscreen. I have some. You want some?
No, thank you for offering.
But you gotta be putting sunscreen on all day. Boys, put sunscreen on.
Well, it's funny, a year and a half ago, my New Year's resolution was to wear sunscreen every day.
And then
I was like, that's a lot of days. Every day.
But do you wash your face every day? Do you brush your teeth every day?
Yes.
You can do things every day.
But I wash my face in the shower and brush my teeth. I've done this as a child. When you're, if I have a baby right now, I would make be like, you have to wear sunscreen every day.
Of course. Yeah, put them right in a vat of sunscreen.
I'm going to be, but because then I'll be tanning mom. So it'll be like making up for that.
Yeah. Were your parents like making you wear like a t-shirt at the beach and stuff?
No, I feel like we would dress like little 1920s babies. Like we would always have like a one-piece suit on.
It's like, why does that baby have a three-piece suit and a
and now we're gay? It's like we always would dress like little like
it's
elephant
like
animals.
Yeah, whose fault is it that we're gay? We're wearing pinstripes to the beach.
I think about that all the time. Whose fault do you think it is that we're all gay?
Oh gosh,
you think it really is genetic?
Maybe Satan.
The devil himself. The devil works mysterious ways.
He does.
Probably my mom. Like, it does feel weird. Like, just the fact that my dad did stay home and my mom was a lawyer. So already, like, the gender roles are so reversed.
Yeah.
That you do have to wonder. And, like, not in a negative way. But, like, just be like, I'm curious about it.
It's a real case for that it could be nature and nurture.
I know. And you Satan. Know?
And Satan.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
But whenever people talk about having one gay kid or one queer kid, I'm like, that sounds
It's like
so
grow up.
Nice. No, it sounds nice.
That's my family.
That sounds like the Family Stone.
My family got double duty on me, though.
Did you watch The Family Stone?
Is that a Christmas movie?
Kind of. It kind of is like both.
I don't think I've seen it.
Okay, well, there's like one gay person in the family, and then I think it allows them to kind of have other things going on in that family. Like,
yeah.
It's just like one thing.
Yeah.
One type of person.
You do take up a lot more attention as the one gay one.
I found ways. I know. I just do anyway. Just being loud. Do you feel like you do in your family? I feel like you're the main character of your family from looking in the outside.
No, that's not. I hope that's not true. I think my dog's the main character, but also that's not how families work. But I think we're all very different, and we each have.
It's also not how relationships work. Go on.
True. True.
I learned that the hard way.
I mean, I think the thing for us is that anytime you're doing like a, I don't know, an entertainment job, a front-facing job, that's just like a different lifestyle than other jobs. Like my sister is. Also incredibly successful at what she's doing. She just doesn't have as much of a front-facing job.
Okay. I know. I feel like there's something for your whole family, really. I feel like they're all, there's something for me in everyone. Because like, we do this, and then your sister and I like work out.
Yeah.
And then your brother and I are both really intense, I guess. I don't really know. We were in frats.
You were both in frats.
And then your other sister is misunderstood like me.
And also a middle child.
And a middle child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, you know what? More importantly, Liv's also a Taurus. You guys are born 2 days apart. I actually do see a lot of her in you.
April 28th.
And vice versa.
In the sense that we're both grounded.
In the sense that you both have that like stubborn Taurus energy.
Hard-headed.
Yeah, not in a bad way. Just like very fighters. Tough.
No.
Not taking no for an answer.
I'm not
going to roll over easy.
But like my mom says, she compliments me once a fiscal quarter and she'll be like, I always say to people, Connor, he's got survival instincts like nobody else.
I agree. I was literally saying that to Maddie when you were going on the cruise. She said, I'm worried about him. I said, I'm not. That guy is scrappy. He can survive anything.
Almost in like a scary, anxious way where I always do feel under attack. But then it's like, yeah, when you are under attack, good. You'll be fucking ready. When everything's in attack, you're like always ready to go.
I'm like, this man's been to jail. I think he's okay.
I know, yeah.
People forget.
I know. I don't even remember going there. I remember waking up there.
People forget, and by people, I mean you.
And they're like, your dad's on his way. It's like, my birth father? Like, on a plane? Horrible. Wait, but I want to know, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. I've been coaching a lot of soccer. I'm coming up on some travel. I'm going to Texas. I'm going to Pittsburgh, Los Angeles. I'm actually going to see my mom. I'm excited about that. See my dogs.
Wait, not your dad?
He might be there. My parents are in different parts of the state right now because they're in the process of moving.
Oh, do they sell the house?
No, that's why she's still there.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'll post about it. I'll post a link to your tour dates and then a Zillow.
Yeah, and a link to the Zillow for my mom. Oh, also, she said she would love to see you on Snapchat.
Shut up.
She said, Connor, add me. Shout out, mom, if you're listening.
Well, the guy I made it for just actually did respond. So. Like, that's crazy that I downloaded an app, made an emoji, Bitmoji for this.
Dude, my whole memory of Snapchat is like I associate so much of Snapchat with college. Like, I feel like it was a really... Did you use it a lot in college?
No. We used, like, FormSpring. Yik Yak. We
had, like, Yik Yak. Yeah, Yik Yak kind of, like, died right when I... Like, it was, like, there for a little while when I was a freshman. I don't know if it got shut down or if, it, like, the whole app went down. Didn't the whole app die?
I hope so. It should have. It was not good. Someone
were you getting called
me.
Out?
Actually, on my...
Not enough.
On my 20... on my 20th birthday...
Yeah?
Someone on Yik Yak wrote, Connor Janda with two N's. Connor Janda.
So not you.
So not some other guy. Connor Janda tries way too hard. And then someone, I do try. And then someone under it wrote, Connor Janda does not try at all.
Wow.
And I was like, people are obsessed with me right now. People cannot stop talking about me on the internet.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was ever talked about on Yik Yak because I didn't have one.
I'm sure that you were.
I remember when FormSpring was like... I think that came in when, like, middle school-ish, maybe high school. And that was, like, an anonymous platform, right?
What you said, maybe high school, was just being, like, we're different ages. Maybe high school if you're older. Maybe
no, I'm just trying to remember. But I think it was, like, sometime around then. And
Caroline Cianci has the funniest joke about that.
Yes. I loved when Caroline was on because I think we really got into this because she was, like, a little internet kid.
Yeah.
And I was so not, as I've talked about many times on the pod before, my parents were very not letting me on the internet. They were like, you will get abducted before you even log in.
And
so
your parents should be celebrated for that.
No, I mean, I don't, like, I mean, I go back and forth on, like, I think there was probably a middle ground somewhere, but
I want my kid offline because I don't want them to have anxiety, and I think that comes from the
yeah
internet.
I think these days, like, the thing is, like, the internet when we were growing up, like, obviously there was plenty of, like, crazy stuff we could have been getting up to, but it was not as crazy as it is now. Like, it's so exploded open in, like, a really weird, I don't know, in a different way. But, like, I remember seeing that FormSpring was, like, anonymous, and I was like, I'm not ever going on there. That I have no business on there. I can't be doing anonymous things like that.
It's straight privilege to open yourself up to such anonymous criticism.
Yeah, I think I was, like, really not open to, yeah.
Because what if someone was going to say, are you gay? I'd have to die.
Literally.
And that is kind of the question that people would
Yeah, I think
ask.
I didn't want questions about myself. I forgot that's what it was. They could write on your thing and ask questions about you, right? Oh, yes, 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 yes. And I was not about that. Also, of course, immediately kids were being mean to each other.
They'd be like, you're a dumb slut.
Yeah.
Whore.
Not good.
14-year-olds.
Yeah. God bless.
I know. Kids are always coming for
I
each
know.
Other.
I mean, I can't even imagine now. You got friends who are viral on TikTok. That adds, like, a whole weird power dynamic.
Wait, what do you think people would write that we know if we were on FormSpring?
About us now? I'm sure, like, our friends would say stupid shit.
They'd say, you're a radiant, shining jewel light. That would
probably
be nice. Someone could say that to
Somebody
me.
Probably be like, Connor, are you a side?
And then I'd be like, well, I thought I would. I'm worried that if I bottom one time, it'll be like when Macklemore relapsed.
Or when Demi Lovato recalled the they, them pronouns.
And did it. And it was always like, she always did seem like a she. He always did seem like a bottom. It makes sense.
Love and light to Demi if you're listening.
She became non-binary the same way I became a side. Anxiety and also boredom.
And also, ooh, a word.
A new identity for me, a thing I can be.
Something to be for a little while. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
No, wait. Talking about FormSpring. Oh, but anyway, my memory of Snapchat was, like, all in college. I feel like we use Snapchat all the time. Like, that was when, like, Snapchat groups were starting to, like, I feel like there was a time where there weren't groups
that.
And then there were Snapchat, like, group chats, and that was huge. Loved Snapchat group chat.
Wait, I must have used it in college though, because I definitely used it. Oh, I did use it in college.
Yeah,
I used it when I was interning in Iowa because I was on the Iowa caucus and like for Elonthon, which was a dance marathon that I was the director of marketing for. Okay, no one responded. It would be a really big deal to have a Snapchat filter made for your event.
Yeah, of course.
If you had, like, one girl with a Canva and a dream and an email address of someone that was important, you could get it done.
There was, like, they would do second semester rush at Wake for the sororities.
I guess
fraternities too, but there would always be, like, Rush Kyo on, like, on the Snapchat filters if you were, like, on campus.
Okay, that's interesting. Were the sororities good at your school?
Define that.
Were they, like, good people?
I mean, that's a hard question to answer, I think.
Mine were bad. They weren't all bad people, but they were people who didn't have an identity outside of this group that they
for
were in.
For sure. I mean, I think that Greek life as an institution is bad. The people within it, I think, range.
I'll tell you everything.
Maybe they're just human.
The top three were Zeta to Alpha. Those were the girls that were hot and did coke and were liberal and sometimes bi.
Okay, that was Beta at my school.
Beta.
Beta.
The name inherently is embarrassing.
Beta. I don't know what they were. I just remember we called them Beta. I don't know what the full lettering was, but they were like not a campus affiliated sorority or something. They like, for whatever reason, they could throw parties.
Already the coolest ones.
Yeah, they like could throw a party. They threw one party a year because they were like allowed to throw parties. And they could have on-campus pregames, I think. And they all had like raspy voices and they were like super party girls, but they also like got straight A's in math. That was kind of the vibe.
But not English. Why math? Who even takes math in college?
These girls. They were like low-key like doing crazy finance. Like they were built for this life.
Okay.
I had a couple girls in my like English classes and stuff that were in that sorority.
And they probably
had such
liked
a crush.
People.
Wait, you met one. She works at your gym. Remember that girl?
You're kidding. That girl was in the sorority that you just described?
I think so. Remember that girl? She said she was going to come to our show. She had glasses, I think.
I remember her.
Yeah.
I remember that I thought she was hashtag gay.
Yeah.
And then I
said. Well, I always had a crush on her, so I thought probably.
Wait. Oh, we're talking about different people. That girl works at SoulCycle. The other girl that I thought you meant was a girl who I thought was bi and then or gay, whatever, one of them. And then I, one of the not mainstream ones. And then I was like, do you know who Muna is? And then she said, I know what they look like. And I was like,
okay.
So you're going to go ahead and be gay.
But was that the girl
straight.
Who knew me?
Everyone I've ever met has known you. But I think, yeah. I think they both knew you.
Okay, brag.
The girl that you're talking about who worked the SoulCycle front desk, totally get it.
Yeah.
She did seem really mathy.
Okay.
But also was maybe an actor, to be honest.
Damn, then I don't know if we're talking about the same person, but regardless.
So that's Beta. And then the other one was Phi Mu. They were Republican Ted Cruz girls.
Totally.
Kind of Stepford. Honestly, Stepford. I'm going to say it. I do think racist.
For sure. Probably. We had like, there was one that was like, their kind of thing was like, they were like all blonde and like super rich and drove Jeeps.
Phi Mu.
And then there was one that was like more like Visco Filter. Like,
oh, I love those girls. That's Sigma.
Like cool girls, but like kind of faux nice, I think.
Were they scary?
I mean, they all were scary in their own way, I think.
I think that's Tri-Sig.
Tri-Sig. Sigma, Sigma, Sigma?
Yeah. They were like big hazers.
Did they do that?
No, but they should have. They were the coolest girls. I was really close with the class under me, kind of. I just want them to listen to this because then I don't want them to fact check and be like, no, you weren't. But like, I have the microphone, as we just said.
Yeah.
When you have a microphone.
If you want to say something, get a podcast.
It's so true. Like, to have a microphone, it's like whatever you say, actually, that is what
that
happens.
That is objective truth now. Oh, wait. Okay. So the reason I brought up college stuff about Snapchat was, oh, yeah. Okay. Because my memory of Snapchat in college was like, it was always causing me such turmoil because I feel like that's how it was like such a casual, because I feel like Instagram DMs were becoming a thing, but like Snapchat was still where people were kind of like. Low-key talking.
I don't remember,
you know, if you had a crush.
Anything about Instagram from college.
I feel like if you had a crush, I know, right? Like, I feel like I used it, but, like, not in the same way. But I feel like if I had a crush on somebody and I had, like, had their phone number or their Snapchat, like, I was probably Snapchatting them because that was, like, such a casual way to, like, be like, what are you doing tonight? Or, like, what's up? Or, like, send something that, like, clearly was maybe, like, a mass snap to, like, a bunch of people. And then you'd have a streak with somebody and that was, like, okay, we've been talking for 7 days in a row. That's awesome. But then, like, to get back to what you were saying, where you had this app and then he never even responded, like that, the crushing feeling of a Snapchat being left on read, brutal.
Okay, well, I do
brutal.
Remember that I think I, so you could post Snapchat stories. Was Snapchat the same as Instagram story?
Yeah, where you could like see everybody that watched it, see who screenshotted
okay.
it.
Okay, I did do that and I would only post for my crush, who was the love of my
same,
life.
Same, of course.
The accountant in my fraternity who ran the money.
Yeah.
The treasurer. I was obsessed with him, and I don't care if he hears this because I'm 42, and like it's over. It is what it is. Also, we're kind of hurling towards the sun. We're all about to be nothing.
You think so?
More or less, time is relative. Like this is such
more or less.
We have such a short period of time. Nothing.
Yeah.
Matters. But I was absolutely in love with him, and I think I would just post on Snapchat for him.
Yeah.
And then I would only, and then when he would see it, then I'd do another one, and then when he'd see that one, then I would do another one.
Yeah.
So I would just keep going to kind of be with him all day.
Yeah, I feel that. I was always posting. There was like probably like three girls. I was like, if you guys see this.
Fucking player. I just named one gorgeous guy who was straight that I was in love with.
Well, to be fair, one was an ex. One was, and the other two were not going to happen.
Why?
Yeah, it just like wasn't going to. I mean, well, they kind of did, but you know.
Elaborate. It's a podcast.
I mean, like,
you made out with them?
Yeah, but like, it wasn't, I don't know. I think I've talked about this kind of before, but I think that like at that time in my life when I had just come out and I was in college, what I really needed was like gay friends.
Yeah.
And I had a shout out to my friend Kat. So I did have like, but I think I really needed like was searching for validation, and I was searching for it through like romantic partners. Mm. But what I needed to be searching for was like the validation of like community.
It's so hard to prioritize community when you also are like, well, I want to have a child and get married.
But also, like, the ultimate, like, it's hard to be, it's so complicated because you don't really realize at that age, like, how much of being gay is about the sort of cultural aspects of it.
Sure.
And, like, the social aspects of it. And, like, I, you know, with my, I have a joke about, like, people not knowing if Maddie and I are gay or straight and whatever. But, like, I would never identify as straight because I'm gay. Like, I'm part of the queer community. Like, that is one of the most paramount identifiers in my life. Yeah. And one of the most important things to me. So I've never not identified that way. But, like, I don't think I knew that yet at that age. What I knew was I liked girls. And, like, that was all I knew about myself in regard to, like, my identity. And it's, like, yeah, like, I mostly prefer women. I'm whatever. My sexuality doesn't really even matter that much to me anymore. But, like, the community that I've found is like the most important thing in my life, and I didn't know that at that age, but I think that's what I needed, because like I think you can't really find that sort of self-love until you sort of like see that in other people that you love so much that is not a romantic flickering crush that's gonna, you know, rip your heart out and stomp on it. Like, that's just not, but that's the way so many of us go the first round, because like all you know about yourself is like, and you're also like 18, so you're like, I am horny.
To love another person is to see the face of God. Do you know who said that?
Give me one hint.
French Revolution.
Marie Antoinette?
Whoever wrote Les Mis. It was an unfair question, I guess.
That what do you mean from the... Okay.
To love another
person. Fictional.
To see the face of
is
God.
It... Who wrote Les Mis?
I don't know.
Okay.
Too good PR for themselves.
I'm looking it up.
But it was the only, they were kind of a one hit wonder in that way, because I think that was the only one they did.
Let's see here. Les Miserables.
To your point about everything you just said.
The Miserables. Can you imagine?
That feels like my life. That was me all of Q1.
Who wrote the musical? Here we go. Claude Michael Schoenberg. Lyrics by Herbert Ketzmer. Original text, Alain Babil, Jean-Marc Nattel.
Okay, a woman.
Well, I think it's more Eileen, like A, Alan, I think.
The thing with French people
is you never know.
You can't know. And
they're
you,
all wearing skinny jeans and striped shirts.
You can't ask. What are you? KS2.
KS2. But anyway, you were saying?
You know, I've said this on the pod before, but I just personally believe, like, my life up until I was 20, no, actually way longer, for such a long time, probably until New York, was all straight women and gay men. Not a ton of gay men, but like it was mostly straight women. And when you, to be in that, I don't know, like I feel like it wasn't until I had friends that were queer,
yeah,
but were not straight women or gay men, that I was like, oh, I actually can be like my own little thing that's a person that isn't like one of these boxes.
Totally.
Because I do think that especially the straight women that I was friends with were like Coco, Connie, Sleepy, whatever.
Yeah.
And I like, and yeah, there's no way
feeling
to
a bit tokenized.
Yeah. There's the thing with me is I will not be your token. I will not be your token at all.
This check won't cash.
No, I will not. And if that's what you're looking for, then this isn't going
to
be it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's hard to know that when you're young, because also, like, you're not really exposed to enough queer people. I'm sure there was more queer community on Wake's campus than I was giving credit for at the time or, like, new to search for. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, I already had existing friendships with straight people. So, like, I wasn't, like, about to go make a bunch of new friends, you know? Like, on my last lap on senior year, be like, time to make a bunch of new friends. Like, I had a bunch of straight friends that I like was around anyway, you know.
I just asked a guy if he had gay friends in college, and he said not until junior year, and then he found them because he had to be really intentional about finding gay friends.
Yeah,
via acapella.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I could have found, like, I could have like tried to like make time. Again, I did have a gay friend, like we spent a lot of time together, and I'm always grateful for her because she's great. But
actually, I think my only gay friends were actually just other gay guys who were friends with the same straight girls.
Yeah.
And the meanest one
mm-hmm.
was friends with all these, the Zeta girls.
Yeah.
And then I saw him on the street one time in New York. And what's crazy.
Was he mean to you?
No, not directly. I don't know why I was so angry. Jealousy. But what's so funny about all these people that I thought were so important, when you think back, you're like, they were so not important.
Yeah.
They were so unimportant. Zendaya is important. Like, they were not, they were the least important people ever.
I know. But at the time, they were. At the time, you're in this ecosystem. And it's very, I mean, I think people are really, are like, survival instinct as it pertains to status is so strong.
I know.
You know?
Oh, God. And to be a gay man, and I actually want to hear if this is a thing that you, it would be different for you, but like, obviously, but like, your capital is oftentimes the girls that you are in proximity to.
Mm-hmm.
And your capital within that group is like, hey, girl, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's very just like Sex in the City.
Yeah.
Set us, my group, at least back 10 years.
Yeah.
However many years. I don't even know. Maybe just like, it just becomes this like tokenized thing.
Yeah.
And then we do that within each other and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just hate that.
Well, yeah, because then you're like, there's already so few of you and it feels like there's room. They make you feel like there's room for one.
Ugh.
Or room for one, like, you know what I mean? And you sort of conjure that up out of, you know, feeling insecure.
Like, you have felt insecure, you have felt ostracized, and then you don't. Because you grew up gay, but now you're in this group of hot girls who like Ted Cruz, but they like you too.
Yeah.
They hold duality.
But, and you know that that's like, but then you realize you're like, well, I'm on thin ice. Like, they like me for something else.
Because my pants are salmon.
They like me, yes, like, despite this thing about me, and, like, I have to, like, be outrunning it the whole time, or making up for it, yeah.
That's really tough. Oh, my God.
Oh,
did you have a thin version of that?
Say it again?
Did you have a version of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, my senior year of college, I definitely, like, I mean, I was an athlete at school, so I feel like that gave me some points in terms of, like, people being like, oh, okay, like, you're cool, whatever. And then I was in our sketch group that was like randomly really popular and people really like to go to the shows. And so, because I think I had those two things I did, people were like, oh, this guy's cool. But people were still homophobic to me and stuff. Like, that wasn't, it didn't like, I think I just kind of like pretended it wasn't happening and just like kind of.
Do you think Wake is still like that?
I imagine it's slightly better than it used to be. I mean, the world is trending in a better direction, generally speaking. And I think like, you know, I'm sure it's a little bit better than it used to be, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think the... Okay, wait, this is crazy. Speaking of boys clubs, last night I was hanging out with Sam Schaefer and we were watching the March Madness final for the men's teams, and...
It's so wild how much he loves sports. Like, you totally get it. He... shocking. You never guess. You never know it.
Listen, you know, he's another Southern boy. Like, you're just around... Mm. You're around sports. It's like, it's, you know... okay.
He's so interesting. He's like, this cologne is from Harry Styles' pop-up shop.
I know,
also sports.
And also, yeah, he knows so much. Okay, wait, let me find these statistics, because we were looking up, I was curious, like, what industries employ the most people. Okay, so the 10 biggest industries.
Cars.
No. What is this, 1945?
My grandfather worked the Ford.
Public schools in the U.S.
Oh, fine. Boring.
Hospitals in the U.S.
Okay.
Fast food restaurants in the U.S. Okay. Guess how many people are employed by fast food restaurants in the U.S.?
To how many people? Well, I have no...
According to this IBIS World, sorry.
Wait, let me guess. Only in the U.S.?
Only in the U.S.
3 million.
4.7 million people.
Kind of crazy how close
I know, that was good. Third employer in the U.S. Top third employer. Professional... Okay, so that's number three. And then professional employer organizations in the U.S., single location, full service restaurants in the U.S., colleges and universities. Okay, so college and universities is six with 3.6. Okay. How many professors do you think are at the average college? A couple hundred? To 1,000?
Depends how big the college is.
I know. It's like...
I think that's the hardest job. I think it's a beautiful life, but it's like the hardest job to get.
Well, I think... I was listening to some podcasts about this too, because college is such a scam. We
you
know it's a scam.
You are always listening to a podcast.
I'm constantly listening to podcasts.
You should have a podcast about the podcast.
About all the podcasts I listen to. But I... Okay. College is a scam.
For sure.
Like, it's such a waste of money.
I know. I mean, I consider it just an expensive long rehab program for me.
Totally. No, because...
But for most people, it's a scam.
This is the thing. I mean, I think there are benefits to college. I think it's like anything. There's pros and cons. Like, I think there are some benefits to being, like, in this little incubator between high school and being a full-ass adult.
Yeah.
Some sort of middle ground, I think, is smart to, like, sort of ease you into the world and start to teach you things, but that's not what college is. College takes you and puts you in this weird universe that you'll never exist in again, and it creates these insane social dynamics and puts, like, and it doesn't really teach you anything, and it doesn't guarantee you a job, and they don't teach any trades. The college degree is becoming less and less of a substantive thing. Like, nowadays, if you really want to make any money, you need to go to a grad school too, unless you're doing some sort of other industry or you're doing a trade. But, like, if you're working like a desk job, I think a lot of people have to go get another degree to, like, actually, like, cement themselves in their field. And it's like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars later, what did you pay for?
Have you ever seen Education with Carey Mulligan?
No.
It's just about the benefit of kind of like looking at paintings and art and reading stories.
Yeah.
And imagining a great, beautiful world. And
yeah.
I think you would really like it.
I mean, I liked all my classes in college, to be fair. I liked being an English major, and I did feel like I feel like I learned plenty. I thought my professors were excellent. I just think there's got to be a better way to be like learning that stuff in higher ed, and also like sort of starting to work and becoming a member of society. Like the fact that you don't have to really contribute to anything but yourself for college, and I feel like that's so bad.
I know, and I think it's too long.
4 years is a long time.
I think it should be 18 months.
Because, like I was on a team, so, like, I was thinking about something other than myself all the time. I mean, I was thinking about myself as well, but, like, there was some structure and some, like, higher power that I was, like, existing, you know, under the guise of, but, like...
Ron something.
Oh, Ron Wellman, fuck him. He was the athletic department. But my point being, like, there's
not
so many...
Anymore.
There's so many kids in college who just are, like, fucking around, and it's, like... Which is fine, but, like... It's never the ones you want to be fucking around, you know?
But what would people... Okay, so those people that go to college, and we both went to kind of ritzy schools in the South.
For sure.
With a lot of wealth. Where would those... What would those people do out of high school if they wouldn't... And I don't mean this in a good or a bad way. If they weren't in college, would people... Like, what would you have done if you were like, you can't go to college, you have to go do something else?
Okay, well, I mean... I don't know what I would have wanted to do at 18, but, like, I feel like I wish I would have learned a trade or something, or, like, moved to a city that I, like, wanted to live in and been like, okay.
How'd you pay your way? So the problem is ultimately capitalism.
Right, exactly. I think there needs to be a better system that would take students in these, like, in this, like, 18 to 22 range. Because that's the other thing, too. I'm like, I think I would have rather worked from 18 to 22. Like, I could have been a paralegal out of college, out of high school. That's not a hard job.
I know.
Like, you know, you're slightly more grown up than you were at 18, but I was probably more willing to, like, listen and do work at 18 than I was at 22.
I would have been an actor. A real actor.
Yeah.
A straight actor. And wow. I don't mean straight serious. I mean heterosexual. I mean a straight actor. Hey, this can be the Rue of the Day episode.
Yeah.
You know who I saw on the subway platform twice recently?
Oh, God.
This guy that was in the BFA Elon acting program who was kind of a dick to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry
and
that
you
I was
shoved him on the tracks.
And I should have.
No.
And I saw him on the thing and I was like, I wonder what he's up to. Nothing.
Nothing.
He's up to
nothing.
When I left the Elon acting program and I left it amidst a lot of chaos, I had really made a name for myself.
Yeah.
Not for good reasons, but because I was a raging alcoholic. So ultimately good because it was kind of like a beautiful redemption
story.
They did
name that one stall the Connor Janda stall. Just kidding.
For a second, I was like, one time I did suck a dick in a bathroom. Did I tell you about that? I was like, oh,
I meant throwing up. But.
No, I figured. Okay. And then I saw him twice. But I remember when I left the acting program, they were like, what are you going to study? I was like, I don't know, PR or something. And they're like, that's like amazing. The world needs PR people and blah, blah, blah.
Does
like,
it?
You don't need to act as if I wasn't going to be an actor. And it's like, hey, I got news for you. None of you are going to be actors. None of you. Not a single one of you. One of you will be on one episode of Law and Order SVU and nothing will come of it. Nothing. So it's like, whatever. If you're in a PR acting program, go home, pack up your bags.
Yeah.
None of them.
Yeah. Because it just feels like it would be more beneficial to, if you wanted to act, move to New York, take acting classes or start going on auditions or doing whatever, and have a job.
Go to an open mic.
Yeah, go to an open mic.
I don't
mic.
Care what you're trying to do with your life. You just got to go to an
Literally,
open mic.
Literally, write, act, do, make things. Like,
I know people would always say that and it never made sense to me when they're like, you have to produce your own stuff. I never understood that. But when I was in the theater world, people did say that, that one day that would be a thing. And now I totally get that. We produce everything that we do as our own stuff. The
yeah.
show is our
this
own
is
stuff.
Produced by us.
This is us. The jokes we write are us. The scripts we write are it's all mm-hmm. us. It's all like making your own little world for yourself.
You gotta generate your own stuff. Yeah.
I know, and that's beautiful.
And I feel like college doesn't necessarily teach you like how to do that, because it also doesn't really set you up for real life in a real way. Like, it doesn't teach you anything. I mean, I know this is such a beating a dead horse, but like, we don't learn anything about personal finance or taxes or health, really, or like how to take care of yourself
or love
or yeah, like emotional relationships. None of that. None of the things that we actually deal with every day in our lives.
Yeah. We actually did learn about love in English class.
Yeah. But in like what kind of way?
Well, we read like On the Road, and we would read Jane Austen.
Yeah, true.
Sense and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice. I guess in that, we're learning about love
mm-hmm.
in all of those ways, and that's kind of sweet. We actually could read those at home.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like
I mean,
doing
I,
a push-up in a workout class.
I
could do that at home.
Yeah, I will say again, I loved my English classes, and I really do think my professors were incredibly smart and pushed me to, like, I do think I learned a lot in those classes that I apply to my life now because I'm a writer, but, like, I don't think if I was in PR or something, it would be the same. I don't know. No shade to anybody that's in PR.
Hi. I know. Okay, yesterday I went mini golfing.
What?
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Where?
You don't even ask me about myself.
No,
No, it's fine. You never even check my location. You don't even know where I am.
You know why? Because I don't know what's going on with the iPhone
I know.
Locations.
Why can't I see your location? I can't see your location.
You can't see it at all?
I figured you took it from me.
No. Is it like not shared with you anymore?
It just says can't find.
Dude, you know what's wrong? I don't know what's going on with it, but every time I go, and boys at home, let me know if this is happening to you too. Apple, can you please listen? You owe us money. specifically Connor. But there was, every time I go to look at like somebody's location, it like tells me where they were like 18 hours ago, 3 days ago. Every once in a while, it's giving me the live location, but it's like never up to date. So I don't
what
even fucking check them
that?
Anymore. I know.
It's like you're on a murder mystery.
Literally, it's like okay, 18 hours ago. Hope they didn't chuck the phone there. God bless. Might as well go back to burner phones.
The Hudson River?
Yeah. Uh-oh, Gowanus Canal 3 days ago.
Oh, that's Rob. That is where someone would...
You'd come out a sea monster.
Oh, no.
I don't know what's in there, but it is radioactive.
I love it over there. It'd be why it feels like Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago
specifically
energy.
During St. Patrick's Day, because that water is green.
It's always been green.
But you were mini golfing with who, where?
I don't know. I was just like mini golfing. I was there by myself.
No, who?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, you don't have to tell me, but where were you?
Bro, I was in like...
Was it inside?
I'm not... Yes. I literally got there and I was like, so this is just like mini golf, but like
I'm
indoors.
Sorry. That's not romantic. No offense, unless it was.
You took... How little regard I hold for the people with 9-to-5s in New York. I was thinking that because it's like we were like watching people and they're like so excited to be out of the house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what would I think if I went to any other place? Because
yeah.
Because if I think these people are fucking losers, what am I going to think if I go to anywhere else? I'm sorry to the boys at home and if the home is in some random place.
Yeah. Wait. Remember when we mini golfed at the Netflix is a Joke Festival?
Horrible. But like, if you're gonna,
but at least that was outside.
Netflix is a joke festival.
At least that was outside.
I know.
And we didn't have to wait for anybody. We were just cruising through the course.
And like, you have a direct line of vision to God above. Like, that's how mini golf was meant to be.
Yeah, inside mini golf, I've done it once before, and it's pretty late stage capitalist bland.
So there were only 9 holes.
Supermarket,
which I obviously was excited about because I don't need to be. The thing with bowling is that you get 2 shots and then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Mini golf, it's like we'll wait for you.
Yeah,
I was like, no, I'm good. I don't need this. Got a lot going on. I don't like bending down every time.
Yeah,
it's not fun. The holes, some man had too much fun making them. They look too complicated. I don't like that.
Okay, well, that's good. Sometimes you pay a lot of money and then the holes are bullshit.
No, sometimes I think simple is better.
Yeah.
We don't need to reinvent the wheel.
But I'm like, if I'm going to pay $30 to do this,
it's literally $20.
I want to be challenged.
Growing up, it was
even
$6.
If it's not hard, I want it to be aesthetically cool.
It was $20 a person and we shared a ball.
Fucking crazy. Shared a ball.
Can you believe it? Yeah.
Why?
And then we all had to share a ball, all 2 of us.
Yeah. All both of you?
All both of us. Lots of guys in suits, lots of alcohol. Kind of a thing, I think, like a post...
Happy hour?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, all these people definitely like had jobs and were employed by someone.
For sure.
And we're kind of here to like get fucked up on the company dollar. I'm here to tell you that you can get fucked up without mini golf.
Yeah. I don't know that would be my outing of choice for a happy hour.
I know. But, like, I don't think I would want to go to any happy hour.
No.
When my first day at RX Bar, my boss sat me down, who is now sober, anyway, and got a Peloton.
You spread it to her.
I kissed her. I loved her so much. One time she was like, are you into older men?
She's not the one that said stop working, was it?
No, that was Tammy. Tammy, who I thought I had anxiety, met Tammy and realized I'm just anxious. She has anxiety. Tammy, who lived paycheck to paycheck, but by choice.
Can I just say that it's a spectrum and you could be really close to her, if not all
That's
the way,
totally
though.
Totally fair. Yeah. Tammy, who would just like start popping pills. I was like, "We, if you cannot handle it, this startup is going under.
Yeah.
You got to know that.
Yeah.
If you're at a startup, it's not going to work out.
No, not most times.
It won't be good. It's crazy, Tammy. She was so sweet, though. I forgot about that. The anniversary that just happened.
Yeah.
It might be this week, because it was Easter. It was maybe late that year. It was on Good Friday. I got laid off on Good Friday. Like Jesus.
God bless. Like Jesus. Did you rise again on Sunday?
Yeah.
Good for you.
No, that year I just remember that all my family was together, and I was like in Chicago by myself. And I was like, crazy that I'm alone on Easter Sunday.
Did you go to Mass?
No.
Could have been not alone. I know. That's what Mass is for.
That's what, it's what Soul Cycle is for.
I mean, church can be anything.
Yeah. I forgot what I was saying. Anyway, those people fucking losers, mini golf.
Mini golf.
Freaks.
Have you ever been to a batting cage?
No. You want to go to that?
I would do that.
I would totally go to that.
I'm not very good at baseball, though.
I can feel the bat in my hand. My dad used to take me before he knew. And so he used to take all of us.
So you were a baby?
It's so crazy. Like, the way that he tried... The way that he tried so hard.
Yeah.
The way that we went on a baseball road trip.
You played T-ball, didn't you?
Yeah. Until I threw up on the mound. The mound. But it's like, why are we even on the mound?
Is everybody ready?
I told you the story. I tried to make it funny one time as a joke, and it just like never panned out. And then I was like, well, cut it. Cut it, but keep it close to your heart.
Keep it close to your heart.
We would always get Slurpees after at 7-Eleven. You know what that is?
Yeah.
But then one time I threw up and I didn't get a Slurpee, and it's like weird that I'm being punished for being sick.
You know, maybe he thought you didn't need a bunch of sugar in your stomach after you just projectiled onto the mound.
It's so empowering to like kind of uproot an entire group of people's night.
They're like calling like the city to be like, how do we get rid of throw up bile on the mound at the baseball field?
Does it evaporate? I don't even know.
I think you could probably just wash it off.
That's where though? Like into a vacuum?
I guess just put water on the mound and let it evaporate.
Did you do T-ball?
Did I play T-ball? I think I went right to kid pitch.
Okay.
No, just because I didn't start till I was a bit older.
Underhand?
Well, we did coach pitch, I think, so then the coaches, the dads, would pitch to us. One time my dad hit me on accident, and my grandpa from the stands went, don't be such a jerk, Dave.
Wait, that's so...
Dave, don't be such a jerk.
Where did he hit you?
In the side, I think. Maybe in the head. I don't know. I had a helmet on.
what's your face reaction to that?
Well, then I got to walk to first base. He was kind of bailing me out because I was not a good hitter.
Wait, that's actually...
He was like, I can't let this kid try to hit. I'm just going to hit him.
Actually, I'm hearing allyship.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would hope to just get to walk.
Yeah.
It's so stressful to have to perform like at the moment, in the time.
Baseball is stressful. It's like that and golf are like sports that are like so, like it's, they're so, I don't know, there's all on that moment.
I know.
Like every baseball game is really intense because it's, I mean, they feel so sleepy, but the moments are so intense because it's like, the pitcher versus the batter. It's a 1v1 situation every time.
But you always have to be ready to fucking run.
Yeah.
It's like, and if you like want to hit it, but you also just like are like, but if I do, I have to like run really fast all of a sudden.
And try not to get hit with the ball or tagged.
And they'll throw it at you.
They will.
That, which is, seems like it should be a league.
I don't think you can throw it at in like an MLB game, but like, who's to say you wouldn't just get hit? I don't know.
God, I hate sports. Like, I love it as an institution. And you know, I think it's nice that it makes people happy.
A funny thing that we do as a culture is the Little League World Series.
Where is that? Is that in Coopertown?
Maybe.
Do you know Coopertown is?
I know Cooperstown, yeah.
Okay, drag me. Did we drive past it?
It's from City, New York. Yeah. I think so.
Wait, crazy that we went to Coopertown.
We did, yeah. We didn't make a stop.
We didn't.
I'm sorry. I could have taken you on another baseball road trip.
We did go to Cooper.
I know, we should have carried that around and just asked people questions.
You know, whenever someone references upstate New York, I say, you know Herkimer? I said, my friend has a farm in Herkimer.
And they say no.
No one's ever said yes here.
I mean, there's about 7,000 people in that entire town, I think.
And that's not a lot.
No.
Mm.
I don't think so. 7,000 people? That's a small college.
Hey, I was looking up, the number of people from my town, and I was like, cool that I have more followers than live there.
Wow.
And then I was like, cool that Nico has four times the number of followers. Just like the number of people.
I'm staying
there,
steady though now.
People voting. I know.
I was dwindling for a while.
I know, because I think people were kind of on the fence about like whether or not they were like pro or against. I don't know.
Pro or against me, yeah.
Do you think that when you post, people just, I think anytime, I've said this before, when you're in Monopoly, you know, when you're in jail, and it's nice because you can't land on a hotel.
Yeah.
I think that's the truth about posting on the internet, is that people, like, don't really unfollow you if you're just quiet. You just kind of, like, have to hide.
But I think that what frustrates me the most about Instagram, and Mark Zuckerberg, if you're listening, thank you.
He has that now?
He has an Instagram?
No, he does Instagram?
He's had Instagram. Instagram is a Facebook Meta property.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, dangerous. But what frustrates me is like you can have bazillions of followers, but your Instagram stories don't reach them.
Well, okay, I think we're supposed to post one time a day. This becomes a mindset grindset, how to grow your followers podcast.
Boys, for just $1 a day, you can grow your mindset and your grindset.
I think that we're supposed to post, it was an insane sentence, once a day in terms of stories.
Yeah.
Like three stories or whatever, one time, let them run out, post again.
Yeah.
And that, why do I think that? Because the algorithm has been sending me reels of girls telling me how to grow my following. And it's like, I'm good. Like, obviously I want to, but I'm not going to do any of this. But that was a tip that was in one of the videos. I'm embarrassed for saying this.
No, don't be embarrassed. I mean, it's the world we live in. I don't even feel like I cared that much about like growing the following. Obviously I would love to like be able to continue to expand what I can do and who I can reach, and to some degree that is dependent on a following. That said, I would be totally content right now just to actually reach everybody that follows me when I post.
Yeah.
Because that would be fine.
Yes.
It's frustrating that they like say we have this number, but then they don't give us the tools to reach it.
Do more people watch your story?
Honestly, the face card doesn't decline. The chest card doesn't decline.
What if I post a picture of just like Mark Wahlberg to get my views up?
Anytime it's a picture I take like on the Instagram app, I feel like that helps.
Oh.
Posting a poster is bad.
That's quite interesting.
I feel like the podcast, when I like post the Spotify to the story, that does okay. But of course, it's also dependent. I know this is so boring. I'm sorry, boys. But
I think
this is our lives.
Home want to grow their followers.
Yeah, this is our lives. But anyway, my big frustration is just that like it doesn't make sense to me that we can have a following. Like, it's like social media is so fucked up. They're using us for free labor. They're using us for free content. They're dependent on us giving them content. Like, I was just like thinking about that because I've been reading the Succession scripts, and the arc in like the season 3 to season 4 is all about Waystar, the like legacy media company that the Roys own, merging with Gojo, which is like this massive like social media empire. Kind of like a TikTok sort of thing, I think. Not quite that, but like one of the things they talk about is the combo there would give content and from like the legacy media mixed with like the algorithm of this thing. And the way that these tech companies work is that they're feeding off free labor. They're feeding off free content. We are constantly, everybody in the world who has a TikTok account is giving TikTok free content. It wouldn't exist without us. So like, they get away with taking all of this from us, but then they don't give us the reward of being able to reach all of our followers. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And it's like, what? How
Why is that?
Because then we're incentivized to feed the machine, because then they reward us a little bit and we see the little rewards and then we're like running up this thing, but they could never actually give us full access to everything.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
That's kind of like when you walk into an audition room and they're like, remember, they want you to do well too because they want to love you. That's the Instagram HQ.
But it's not the truth. And also, like, the thing is, like, you could be like, oh, there'd be no way to show one person all 2,000 follower people that are post, all 2,000 people that they're post, that are, excuse me. There's no way to show somebody, like, if somebody follows 2,000 people, there's no way to show them all 2,000 people every day, no doubt. But not 2,000 people that they're following are posting every day. Most normal people are not posting that much. These days, I feel like Instagram is mostly consumed by content creators, as is the case with TikTok. That includes us. That includes anybody who has, like, a content following. I feel like that's how most people, a little bit each other, too, but, like, unless you're getting married or, like, have a big milestone event, I feel like most people aren't just, like, posting to Instagram anymore.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So it's, like, they could be promoting our stuff, and they're not.
Promote my stuff.
Promote our stuff.
Reels, promote my body. Promote all of it.
I'm just pointing out that I think it's deeply fucked up, and it pisses me off, and I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Yeah.
I'm mad.
Yeah.
I want
I'm trying to get you mad.
I'm pissed.
Trying to get everybody mad.
I'm fucking pissed. Rally the troops.
Rally the troops.
This is like, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fix for that is. I'm not really even on TikTok anymore because it scares me. But I'm only on it when I want to know how to do it literally.
Yeah.
Word out press. Every day before I go to the gym, you know what I'm saying? I go on TikTok and I say, back mass workout. Mass. The word middle world is mass. Why? Because I'm trying to grow mass. I don't just want to tone. I want to build mass.
It's a priest doing dips at the on the pews.
You know what
I mean?
A mass
workout. That's why the best way for us, for you boys at home, to keep up with us, of course, the podcast, but also emails.
Share our reels.
Share our reels, but also get on the email list if you want to know.
What if you email a reel?
Email a reel? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to start. No. But if you want to get on our email list, that's the best way to keep up with us.
What if on
that's
your
in the show notes.
How many people are on your email list?
Almost 200.
Oh my God. So if you shared out a reel, this is so boring. Sorry, kids. If you shared out a reel during email, maybe that'd be 200 shares. Probably not.
No. I don't think that's how that works.
Doesn't matter.
But anyway, did you see any boys clips this week?
Yeah. Mine was mini golf and all the people at mini golf who I do think live in a lower consciousness because they were at like there and like seemed so excited about it.
Yeah.
And although it was really sweet, whatever. And then my other boys club is, if I were to name a boys club right now, my boys club is today at the gym. I was in one of those like quiet private rooms. And there was this one guy who was, like, boxing. And I was like, that's the hottest thing I've ever seen. I do want a guy that will fight me.
Okay.
That was kind of hot. And then this other woman who was just, like, on her phone. And
you want a guy who will fight you?
No, but, like, I want a guy with that energy.
You're a little antagonist.
Yeah.
You have a little, like, Do you get bored and want to bother people?
Wait, what?
Like, do you feel like if you get bored or you feel... I remember having this feeling all the time when I was a kid.
Like, are you going to say NEG, negging?
A little bit, but, like, I remember being a kid, and do you ever have this feeling where you're, like, you're in a funk, you're in a mood, you're being annoying, you're actively annoying somebody or irritating them, and you just can't stop yourself?
So when I was a kid, I'm like that. I'd be really annoying, and my brother would be kind of sensitive, and I'd be like...
And you're just, like, poking and poking and poking until they can explode.
We would both have milk, and then I'd be like, I actually have juice. And he'd say, no, we both have milk, and I'd be like... Awkward that I have shoes. I was like 3 years old.
That's so funny. So you've been doing this for a while.
Forever, yeah.
You're a pro. Because I remember feeling like that as a kid. I don't think I feel that way as much anymore. Not in the same ways, at least. But like, do you feel like you like to, like with romantic partners, do you feel like you
if
like to
guy
have a little barb?
If a guy ever compliments me, he'll be like, mate, this is all I'm saying this. Not to brag. But like, he'll be like, you're so cute. And I'll be like, what, you want me to say it back? Like that.
You are drama.
And it's like, not the first time I use that line.
Wow.
Yeah, you're
okay.
Like that too.
Okay. No,
we're
I'm kind
a
of
a charming duo.
I'm more of a simp though.
Simp is when you love your wife.
Yeah, or just like we'll bend over backwards for whoever
That's
you're
sweet.
Into.
That's sweet. That's such a nice way to wait. I wanna be like that. I actually had a rambling joke about that in my hour
of wanting to be a simp.
Yes, that was kind of a new idea where it's like, I'm only like that with my dad because I'm so guarded.
Yeah.
But actually it is. So I only love him truly because I know he can't leave because he doesn't have a job. But like, I have the huge fear of being, oh my God.
Abandoned, rejected.
It always comes back. Every episode comes back to some sort of, like, of being too much.
Yeah.
Of being.
I feel that.
Oh, what's the smothering?
Okay.
And I have so much love in my heart.
Yeah.
That if I were to love so honestly, I'm kind of like playful and like blah, 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 blah. That it is just like, oh, that can feel smothering where it's like, don't flatter yourself. I'm kind of like that with everybody.
I mean, to be fair, obviously I know romantic and friendship love is different, but I never feel smothered by you.
You don't?
No, because you're so busy. You're always on the go.
Wait, I love you so much.
I love you too.
No, I care about you so much.
I care about you so
much. I will smother you. I'll try to smother you more.
Boys, if you if I'm feeling smothered next episode, I'm letting you know.
Oh my God. That's really interesting.
I feel that as like a defense mechanism though. Like to like keep your distance from people. I feel that 100%.
That's so interesting. I'll never text you and be like, I miss you, or I love you, or I'm thinking of you. I would never do that.
Because, yeah, but we text each other every day.
Because then you'd be opening yourself up to rejection. And isn't that the craziest thing in the world?
But you wouldn't get that from me.
Oh my God. I know what that. Oh.
I hear that though. It's hard. It's hard to be vulnerable. It's so hard to open yourself up, especially if you've been rejected in the past.
Who rejected me? Who?
We just talked about this two episodes ago, that we both were pining as young fellas.
I know. Who? Society.
Society rejected us.
The man. Which man? The man. Just the man in general.
All men.
All men.
And that's the point of this podcast, too, is that we're boys club because we were rejected by other boys clubs.
God.
Wow.
The small but mighty boys club of two.
Oh, sweet. But
gay,
pour one out for
gay,
it.
Sorry.
Pour one out. But anyway, I feel like the fear of rejection and being, I don't know, being found out is like so strong for so many people.
What that you at say, some being point, found out in another way,
like that if they really knew who you were, and if they the really Wizard got used to it, vibe, then they wouldn't want you anymore.
Yeah.
And they really figure out who you actually are after the honeymoon phase and after all of the, like, the rest of it.
I know.
It's hard.
That's so interesting. You don't struggle with that because you're in a long-term committed.
Yeah, but I feel like this is the first time in my life I've felt that way. Mm. I didn't feel that way in other relationships. They also didn't last as long, but I was way... All my previous relationships are so much more rocky than Maddie and I.
No offense to everyone else in the world, but, like, the way... If we're feeling this way... What are these other people out there feeling? Do they ever look in the mirror?
I think it's a human universal truth. No matter who you are.
Wait, boys, you feel this way?
I think everybody feels this way. I think the fear of rejection is incredibly strong. I think that's why people are struggling so much right now with, like, dating, because we're not getting... There's, like, because to be rejected in person feels like it would be horrible, and it is, of course, but there's also like a much more human and kinder way that people do that in person versus like if you're on Hinge and you get rejected, they might say the most fucked up shit to you, or they might just unmatch you, or going back to my earlier point, leaving you on red on Snapchat. Like, there's so many horrible ways that, like, we can, because, like, the internet is so, I don't know, sterile, and, like, not, like, we, it's like bordering human connection. You know, it's like always kind of deciding. You can really go in and out of whether or not it's like a very human way to talk to each other or a very removed way to talk to each other. I think people really dip in and out of that when it's convenient for them. Yeah. And I think dating apps are a really prime example of that, where people will find love on the apps and they will also be absolute assholes to each other on the apps. And, like, I just think that that's, I think the apps, we will learn in time, are ruining a generation of dating.
My generation.
Yeah. No, I think the generation we're in now. I think everybody, well, because everybody we know is on apps.
Should I delete both all the apps right now?
Yeah. I mean, I have been ringing this bell for a while. I think that they need to get rid of those, and they need to have more places where people can fucking meet.
The way you
said
ringing the bell is giving so
blowing the whistle.
Article being like, these 11 women predicted 9/11 in 1999, and no one believed them. Ring, ring.
And who was it? It was a group at a nursing home. Who got access to some fly records.
That is literally a thing where it's like, if sexism weren't real, then 9/11 we would have...
like, and if transphobia wasn't real, the apps wouldn't exist.
That's what we need. I think, honestly, ring that bell.
I'm ringing it.
If you're paying $29.99 for Hinge...
Well, first of all...
Get off.
Nobody, please don't pay for these apps. Don't give them your money.
I hear you.
Don't give them your money. I'm saying that to anybody... In or out of the room with us.
I got off Grindr because I realized it doesn't make me happy and I don't like it anymore and I don't want to be on that, so I'm not on that anymore. But I actually am on Hinge, but not all the time, but I am on sometimes. But the problem is that I actually just want to meet a person in real life.
Exactly.
Maybe someone like over at like the CAA office who like actually works there.
It's like it created a solution to a problem that didn't exist.
Yeah, people have been getting married forever.
Exactly. And I think we are undergoing a...
Oh my God, that's insane.
We're undergoing a social... change in some regards, whereas, like, you know, 2 decades ago our grandparents were probably still getting married, a lot of people who maybe weren't, you know, it was a money, you know, it was a more of a financial relationship than it is now, and it will continue to be that way, though with the way things are heading it might even be a flip where women are taking care of men.
Talking about my dad,
literally, he's a game Tag changer him. He's a game changer. He has a job.
I know.
You always act like he's not fully a teacher.
It's a soft launching working, becoming a teacher.
Okay. Literally a high school teacher. Anyway. But anyway, like, yeah, people, obviously, like, I think that we would have been undergoing some social change, and we are undergoing social change in the way that, like, people are actually getting married out of love or out of more genuine connection and not so much for these financial relationships as we would have seen a couple generations ago. But, like, we don't need to then also add on top of that this entire new way of dating, like the apps and everything. Like, it's just completely, it's not, the problem didn't exist. Like, that was a fix to something that wasn't happening.
No, I completely agree with
you. I don't think people were like, oh, I'm not meeting anybody. What if I met, like, online dating went from being, like, it's fucked. It went from being a joke to being all anybody talks about.
I know. And I remember when I first made a Tinder when I was, like, 23, and I was so embarrassed to admit that I wanted love and genuine connection, which is crazy because now I have a podcast where I say it every episode. But it was, like, this, like, the most vulnerable thing in the world to be like, actually, I do want this.
Yeah.
To put yourself out there for anything. Yeah, maybe I'll, like, become a person that just... Evan Lazarus said that they are a person that now only... They deleted all the apps, and they're just, like, out there giving vibes.
Good.
And then maybe that's good the way them. To live.
I think it is. I think that the more people that get off the apps and get off social media and go back into living real life, the better we'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boys, turn your apps off.
Turn the apps off.
Turn the sound on this podcast up.
Be, yeah. Share a podcast with a lover, okay? That's a way to find a crush. Send them this podcast episode. Is it thinking of you?
Maybe when I go to the gym, I'll start kind of like looking for, I'll sussing people out and staring at people.
Yeah, that could be good. Where else could you go?
The park.
The park is a good place.
I'm going to go to the park and I'm going to bring a book, not attached, not out of the wreck I rise.
Yeah.
not unwasted.
I think Jack Kerouac's book.
There's something about bringing Untamed that's like, yeah, let's fucking go.
If I saw you reading Untamed in the park, I would turn the other way. No offense to Glennon Doyle. I'd say I'll give him a couple years. Let him cook a bit.
To be, there's something so
that's
funny
like a gateway like, drug.
Do you, what's worse, to be dating someone who is untamed or is trying to be more untamed? That's not good.
If you're reading Untamed, and again, this is no shade to anybody who's read it or Glennon Doyle, I think there is a moment for that for all of us. But it does feel like such a gateway drug to like, it's like if you want by somebody that's reading like The Art of Giving, not giving a fuck. It's like, let me meet you when you're ready.
Yeah, that's really,
you know, let's. You clearly are going through something right now.
I think The Great Believers, that's a book that you should carry around if you're looking for love because it shows that you know gay history.
True.
AIDS is in there. And it shows, there's just like a lovely story that about the complexities of being a human in a world that is hurling towards the sun.
Yeah.
Going towards the sun.
Yeah. But I, like, I'm trying to think of any, I don't know. There's just, anytime I've had a genuine connection with somebody and like went on, like, I've always kind of known them through another way. Like, it's never been through a dating app.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, don't need to start saying it like that.
No, please.
But my feeling is, totally, everyone that I fell in love with before.
The way you double front porch that sentence to say totally. The thing I'm going to say to you, and I've been saying this, totally.
Like, let's go through the list of men that I posted that ruined my life. That I was obsessed with. Okay, one.
Boy Scout,
Eagle Scout even.
Wow.
Don't diminish his accomplishments.
I'm so sorry.
And since I helped him dig that well by that church for his Eagle Scout project, I'd say our accomplishments.
Yeah, true. I know, did you get an honorary badge? You an honorary scout?
No, but I'm waiting on it in the mail. I'm waiting on it, and I'm waiting for it to be invited to a civil suit.
So you can object.
So I can be like, I'm good, actually. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah.
One, so I met him doing a musical. We were on that's a project.
Okay.
Two, the treasurer for my fraternity.
Uh-huh.
Project-based.
Yeah.
Someone who kind of helped me figure out finances. That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Three, this one guy I worked with one time I was literally obsessed with. Four, actually can't think of another one. It's really just then that one guy was a little upset. But like those three are like the ones where I was like, no, a project, like meeting someone through a project or whatever. Maybe I should join a gay run club.
Or that could be good. Also, I was just thinking like a film set. Yes. If you're on like an indie short or something.
So if anybody has a job opportunity, it's not that I need the job. I just need
he needs
the
a place for love. Yeah, me being like, why don't you blend work? Why don't you walk the line?
People be like, how'd you get into acting?
I wanted me to somebody. Me telling you to get in there in that gray area and, you know,
that's literally like
work romances
at AA.
Maybe that was bad advice.
No, do it. Me on an A24 set, game over.
Yeah.
Game over.
Game over.
Honestly, not on a set. I think walking through the hallways over at corporate, game over. Someone over there, not even, I don't even mean one of the buyers. I mean someone who's doing research.
Yeah.
Someone who's really putting together dramaturg boards. Totally. That's what I want.
Somebody who has access to a whiteboard.
Oh, my. And then he flips it over. It's another whiteboard. I would fall over right there in a moment.
Yeah. Maybe a professor, too, would be good.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You should, what is it called when you sit in on a class you're not taking?
Audit.
Audit. You should audit a class.
Wait, maybe we can just go to any class on any college?
I mean, I think so.
And just, wait, seriously?
You know, I don't actually know the answer to that. But I think if you said, hey, I'd love to sit in on this class, they might be like, okay.
Yeah.
If you're like not going to be disruptive, what are they going to say?
I know, and I wouldn't be disruptive.
And you don't have to take the assignments.
I know, that is, wow.
Like, I feel like in a massive lecture hall, how would they know?
Wait, we can just go, we should take a psychology class.
We could probably do that. Let's go up to Columbia and sneak in.
Really?
I don't know. If it's a big enough class, I think we could sneak in.
It's giving Goodwill Hunting.
Yes.
But then we get really into it and no one answers.
And then they find, but it's Goodwill Hunting, but they find out we're so stupid. They're like, okay, this one was just a picture.
That's
a what?
Yeah. Just our ideas. But sometimes I'll go to an AA meeting looking for love. And the problem with that is that at AA, you're actually like literally not supposed to love. So I'm actually going there to break someone's sobriety.
Yeah. That's, right. That's tough.
Oh, you're apt to being addicted to someone?
Let my love be your drug.
What's the opposite of love bombing? I know.
A love drought.
Okay.
I just made that up on the spot, but that feels right.
That sounds like an album.
A love drought?
Yeah.
Love drought feels like, yeah. It feels like you...
The drought was the very worst. You know that song?
That's Taylor Swift. The drought was the very worst.
Right? Yeah.
Which one? Clean?
Mm-hmm. I'm finally...
You say I don't listen.
I'm surprised that you know that album. No, I guess you would know
1989.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time together. I'm paying attention.
The
drown was the very worst. You know what I'm jealous I didn't get to see? Speaking of boys clubs, that probably was mostly teen girls. I wish I went to the Olivia Rodrigo concert.
Period. Bro.
I got you onto her. Let's just say that.
Nope. My boys club is last night. When I was leaving mini golf, it was really late. It was 11 because I went to the apartment. So I was leaving and it was really late. I was on the A train and I caught it.
Not the only hole in one.
You may think that, but I'm aside.
So there were no hole in ones for the whole night.
For anybody. But we got close. Sometimes it's just the tip is enough. And if you're fine with that, I'm fine with that. So we're on the A train. So that was insane. We're on the A train. Mm-hmm. And there's three people. Like, I'm waiting for the platform. And then I'm like, I stand near these people that like look interesting.
Okay.
And then I listen to them. They're coming from the O-Rod concert.
Olivia Rodrigo. They said O-Rod?
They said O-Rod, yeah.
Oh.
The kids. But then the gay guy got off at 14th, and then the two girls talked shit about him for the rest of the time.
No.
And then they got off at Fulton. I was like, what's so great about you?
Okay.
But I think he sounds kind of not like a good friend, and they actually do seem like good friends. I think he's a bad guy.
Well, you know, wouldn't be the first. Won't be the last.
Can you believe it? The gay guy was bad. A gay guy not good?
Can you believe he was being misogynistic to his friends?
I know. And then I was on there, and I was like looking at the Olivia Rodrigo set list, and then I read a whole review of her concert. We should have gone to that.
I know. I'm bummed I didn't go.
I feel like that would be such a great way to stay young forever.
I know. I think part of me was like, I don't know if I should like want to go be around a bunch of probably what's going to be end up being children, but I think I would have had a great time.
One of my clients,
my mom loves her.
I love Olivia Rodrigo for now. I kind of think so. I don't know.
I love her. I think her music is great.
I think she's either the most normal person or the least normal.
What if we gave her room to just be, we don't have to know.
Oh.
What if we don't have to care so much about her as a person until she does something illegal?
Illegal?
That's my vibe, is I'm not trying to care about anybody. I'm trying to separate the art from the artist until it borders on illegal.
Wait, what's an example of illegal?
Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, totally. Or bad. If you just said bad.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. But like, I think that's when we get into a weird spot.
So when you say illegal, I was like vigilante.
No, I just mean like, I think we get into we're in this weird place where everybody like,
it's black
not to be
white.
Like cancel culture, but like everybody is trying to cancel all people all the time. And I think the left especially is kind of a self-eating machine at times where we're just constantly like calling out our own people or people that are like trying to be left of center because nothing will ever be good enough and we will always move and the world is right of center for the most part, at least the United States is, and like we're, I think people are trying There's a lot of people trying. And I think too often we're coming down on the people that are trying and not targeting the people that are not trying, which is our government. Anyway, continuing
literally
on.
Get my gun. I totally agree. Because I used to say queer people eat themselves, eat each other.
I mean, I think we do too, yeah.
But it probably, it's true. It's, the left holds the left to these standards where it's like, well, the right, they don't have standards.
Right, exactly. So, I think about that all the time where it's like, obviously, like, Chappelle and Gervais are getting in trouble for transphobia, but in trouble by who? Nobody. People on the internet that are mad, but they're not seeing any actual consequences. Whereas I'm like, oh my God, like, what if I said something that, like, was taken out of context or like that a joke that didn't quite work or something because I'm talking about being trans and then like people get mad at me. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? I'm so much more likely to be not to whatever. It doesn't even matter. Anyway.
No, it does matter.
But like we stand to have more of a fallout because of
queer people would hold you to a higher standard.
Right. And it's like, which I think is like good. I think we should be holding ourselves to as high of a standard as possible. But I think all this to say, I think cancel culture has gone too far. I think it has kind of where there's this now we're in this time where it's like people are trying to put a moral standard on standing on everybody and everything without having any context for who people are, without knowing a fucking thing about anybody, taking just like the access to way too much information that we have about everything now. People putting shit together on TikTok, you know, people being way too obsessed with celebrities' personal lives and having this like moral judgment placed on them for things that are none of our business. I mean, I think the fact that people are still pissed that John Mulaney got divorced is fucking crazy. He never has said anything bad about his wife publicly. We don't know anything about their relationship. Maybe he cheated on her. That's not our business to decide whether or not that's good or bad. It's like between two people. He hasn't done anything illegal other than his drug use, which is, again, between him and God.
He's not hateful.
He doesn't seem it. I mean, whether or not he's a good guy, I don't give a fuck. Like, I think as long as he's not doing anything illegal, like, that harms another person.
Totally.
I don't care. So, like, I just think that we need to all relax about that up and until the point so that we can actually focus on, like, the people like R. Kelly and the Weinsteins and other people who are actually doing horrendous shit that needs to be brought to justice, because when we just muddy these waters with every person.
And I thought you meant Mr. and Mrs. Weinstein.
Who's that?
I don't know. The way you said the Weinsteins, it was like a couple up the road.
Well, Harvey Weinstein, but also his whole company.
The type of people that are the Weinsteins of the world.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we're muddying the waters with all this other bullshit, and it's like, okay, well, now we're actually never going to get justice because you're too worried about canceling a micro-influencer for saying something stupid.
I know, and I think that stupidity and hate are treated the same.
Yeah.
By the left.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're not the same.
Right.
Like, people, I don't know, like, especially like when it becomes like racism, misogyny, transphobia, homophobia, those things are often rooted, like, there's a hatefulness to that, but those are treated the same as someone that just says something stupid on the internet or like does like a mean thing to a person that's just like a shitty thing to do. It doesn't mean they're hateful. And yeah. I feel like hate is a thing that is bad, and these other things are just like, people are weird.
Yeah. And, like, people don't give, I don't know, it's just, like, it's too much. It's too much. And I think that we're causing our own roadblocks, and we're causing our own distractions instead of just actually focusing on what is going on.
Like, comedians, and what the real problems are. Anti-cancel culture in general, that you generally need to be able to say things. With that being said, I just think the people that usually say that are bad. It's usually the people that are like, cancel culture. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. But then,
you want to be like, well, what'd you want to say?
It's also just, like, it's all stupid because... Here's the thing. Like I just said, cancel culture, quote unquote, has not actually affected anybody's life in a real way. Like, the people that are powerful are still getting away with the shit that they get away with. Their lives are not affected. And so it's like, what are we doing? Like, we're just going to try to, like, you know, cancel everybody, and then it's just going to, like, actually affect certain people and not others.
I know.
And the people that actually deserve it, we're never going to be affected by it in the first place.
Do you remember when that guy, who I won't name, but he was like, there was the internet got excited because on the SNL monologue, he said, like, gay and the R word.
Oh, yeah.
Were like, this is amazing. You know when they said gay? They said it multiple times. Late night news when gay people were hate crimed in the city of New York.
Yeah.
So people are saying gay. People are saying gay, fine. But then these incels are, like, so excited just about the word is used.
Yeah.
That the word is used in, like, a not...
In a pejorative way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
But then the left is just, like, eating each other alive for just, like... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. It's, yeah. So, how do we even get on that?
I don't know. Like, we're here and we're queer and we're going to have a podcast. We're going to keep having it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Spotify algorithm.
is pushing it.
Is going to push it.
But yeah, I guess I just... Oh, wait. Who are we saying? Oh, if Olivia Rodrigo is good or bad, I don't care.
I
like her music. And if unless she's doing something illegal, I don't care.
I care no longer. So
yeah.
And if you're home and you care, don't.
Well, it's just like, what is that going to change?
Good for you.
I mean, we cannot possibly hold the weight of moral judgment of every human being in our hands. Why would we want to do that? That is not for us to judge. I know.
I love all people.
I know. I think the whole world has gotten so... Like, I was talking about this with Maddie. Like, Gen Z and Alpha are leaning so puritanical and...
You're talking about that TikTok video that was kind of criticizing that girl for being, like, kind of annoying in her video, but, like, the people criticizing her were more annoying.
Well, first of all, it's just like the discourse of shit that does not matter. Again, back to what I was saying before, giving these platforms, our like tech wizard overlords, the free content that we don't need to be giving them. Every time you make a response video about a stupid video that you could have just said, like, I didn't like this, and scrolled past, you are giving them more content for free.
Yeah.
For free. So it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Just to add to discourse that in this like tiny corner of the internet that means nothing but means billions of dollars for the TikTok like CEOs. Yeah. What are we doing?
And at the same time, is tearing someone else down.
Exactly. And it's like, if you don't like it, turn your phone off. Go outside.
Yeah.
Do anything else. It's just so stupid. But then, just in general, I feel like Gen Z. Sorry, I'm just like really blabbing at you today.
No, that's what this podcast steamrolling is. No, I'm steamrolling.
No, that's not true.
Usually I am steamrolling. Last episode I steamrolled.
This time it's you. No, but the
I'd follow you into war.
Thank you. Because I'm rallying the troops, boys. I'm rallying the troops.
We should do a grown-up Goonies.
Yeah, where we go to a...
The way you said yeah, you're like, yes, and.
I'm trying to think about what that would entail, because I don't know if I've seen the Goonies.
Well, it's just like a bunch of ragtag boys, just kind of like...
It's kind of like Lost Boys vibes.
Yeah.
It's like a nice Tale of the Flies. No, Lord of the Flies.
Peter Pan, but it's only about the Lost Boys. And then Peter Pan is like kind of a peripheral character who's just the gayest guy you've ever met. And we're just like,
it's like, why is he in charge?
Fucking Peter Pan.
Those fucking tights.
With Botox, won't grow up.
Why is he trying to fuck that other fairy?
Wait, so maybe we should do like a Peter Pan.
At remake. Tinkerbell. Yeah, we should talk.
Tinkerbell is kind of like the tag.
Yeah.
I never say that, but I don't think of women that way. But yeah.
Good for you.
That's the problem.
Good for
hag
you.
Is the problem.
Good for you. We have a boys club live show coming up.
When I was an acting major, we had to do this activity where we'd lie on the ground and scream, no apologies.
No apologies.
But I'd kind of be like, no apologies. like phoning it in.
And they're like, you owe us one. You owe us one.
Like, I don't think you're really, I think you're phoning this in. I don't think you're really, no apologies right now.
Anyway, we have a boys club live show coming up.
Wednesday, April 24th. If you're in Pittsburgh, Nico will be there May 3rd.
Yes,
if you're
thank
in
you.
Austin, he'll be there a day before May 3rd.
No, I'll be there next week.
Literally
this week when this is coming out. If you're in Austin, Texas, come see me on Saturday, 4:20. We will not be blazing up because it's Texas, and they don't do that there.
Oh, at all?
Well, it's legal there, so I'm not trying to, you know, be double illegal in that state.
They don't get so shit. Oh, my God.
They don't cancel out. I think it would double down. But yeah, I'll be in Austin the 17th through the 20th of April. I'll be in Pittsburgh on May 3rd. And I'll be in LA on May 11th. So if you're in any of those cities, please come see me. And if you're in New York, come see us live. April 24th, Wednesday. We have an awesome lineup.
It's a live podcast recording. Unless you don't like that, then it's a stand-up show.
Then it's definitely a stand-up show.
And if you don't like that,
then tough shit, because we're really funny. And so are our guests. They always are. And yeah, we'll be coming out with more podcasts every week. Share it with a friend. We love you guys. We got anything else?
I think that's it.
All right.
Godspeed.
Godspeed. What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.